I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Friday afternoon, everybody. Hello. Howdy. Good to be with you today. A long week.
Oh, I'm so happy it's Friday.
Raiders and Chiefs on Sunday at 3:25, I believe.
It was the same length as every other week.
Well, not my weeks.
No, yours was only 4 days.
As wow. long as your week felt, my week felt 1 day shorter, but still super long.
Well, that was me last week where I was saying on Friday that it didn't feel like a long week, and it was because I had Monday off.
And what's crazy is you guys, like, I'm not a big Halloween person, you know that, but, like, we're knocking at the door now of Thanksgiving. Like, I'm starting to see actual countdowns that give me hives. It rained last night. The colors today outside are stunning. Mm-hmm. Did you get caught in the 35-second monsoon that was that line that went through?
No, Dana, like in any good tornado that rolls through my backyard, I was almost fast asleep.
I mean, I don't get scared by thunder, you know, obviously not. I'm a grown man. And it went from, like, it wasn't even raining. It was barely cloudy outside. Right? I was standing on my balcony and the thunder hit so aggressively that I jumped out of my skin for about a half a second.
It was so good, and I was so happy, but...
Thought you were a man.
I hate to be the old person here, because this is what old people sit around and talk about. It came through so fast, and the ground is so dry, I think it just all ran off. Like, any rain will take, but it's so dry, and that thing just... In, what, 2 minutes... It was
again,
over.
Again, Dana, I don't know. I was
reading.
When
did you go to bed?
We get
8 o'clock.
No, that's not true, Samuel. We get into bed shortly after 8 o'clock.
God.
That's not true. Oh, wait, it's 8 o'clock.
We were at dinner.
She works early in the morning and has to drive all the way up to Leavenworth. And once the alarm goes off, I cannot go back to sleep.
Yeah. I hadn't even gotten home from the gym yet.
I hadn't even gotten home from buffing up the guns. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Can't ban these guns.
He was buffing his guns. That's exactly what he was doing.
Pumping iron, baby.
Come and get him, Obama.
That's right. Cut him off.
Do you work out with earbuds in tell everyone around you, back off, I'm not in the mood for conversation?
Everybody at the gym does that.
I actually leave one earbud in, the other earbud out, on the off chance that, I don't know, an emergency happens.
Wait a minute. How do you do that? Because when I put my earbud in, if I take the other one out, and I don't call them... AirPods. They're earpods or earbuds because they go in your ear. But if I take one out, it shuts everything off.
I'm not fancy enough to have AirPods, so I use the old run-of-the-mill cheap.
I can't keep a pair of sunglasses for more than about 6 days. I have never invested in expensive AirPods. I would lose. They're tiny.
I don't think they're that expensive.
The package is tiny. I have an old pair that belonged to one of my sons. And on the rare event that I feel like I need those, I use their pair.
The pair that I use, I got from Quick Trip 7 years ago.
Bingo. I'm so old, I still like the cord that goes with them because I feel like I am less likely to lose it if it's corded. But I know that makes me look older than I sound right now.
They are kind of expensive, aren't they?
Oh, they're crazy expensive.
I can't use the cord. The cord drives me nuts. I'd rather go without.
Now, in fairness, I did not pay for my AirPods. Somebody else bought them for me.
Yeah. I have to have AirPods in Western Germany
right now.
She used to live in Western Germany, but doesn't anymore.
You retained custody of the AirPods.
When I was told that the dream was over, I hid them.
You know what Bill Burr calls those when... Have you not seen? This is one of the cleanest things he's ever said, but he is talking, or is it Sebastian Maniscalco? It's Sebastian Maniscalco. In one of his stand-ups, he's calling the guy next to him who's got the water bottle, the keys, the wallet, on the treadmill, and he goes, and then he puts in the little bitch buds.
The what, bitch buds?
The little bitch buds.
Is it rude to listen to your own music at the gym?
No.
I thought everybody did that.
That's what... We all should be.
No, I don't listen
doing.
To music.
You
I
listen.
Can't.
What do you listen to?
Like a podcast or the radio?
Really?
Oh yeah, I've got to listen to angry music. When I'm at the gym, I'm angry.
If I listen to music, I end up dancing between each set, and you get a lot of weird looks.
Time
when
out.
I'm dancing at the
that
gym.
Went right past you. You're now going to a gym?
No, she's not.
We have a couple of options in that realm. There's one in my new space where I live.
Have you visited it?
I've toured it.
Or have you looked at it?
I've toured it.
Okay. So you've walked through it, which in and of itself is a bit of exercise.
Dip the toe in the water of touring the gym. And then we have a massive gym that we belong to, but that, you know, that you got to drive there. And
oh, my gosh.
That's a non-starter for Dana. and now that the pickleball season is over, which ended last week, and we took third, by the way, I am going to start working out in the off season because, you know, not getting any younger.
I would like to highlight the fact that she said she dipped her toe in the water of touring the gym. Which means
correct.
She didn't even walk into
so
the gym.
So you looked through the window into
you
the gym.
You gotta ease me into that space.
She said, yep, that's workout equipment. All right.
So that is what a dumbbell looks like.
I see it. I'm not feeling it. But thank you. It's here if I need it.
Which one's the barbell?
So are you going to start working out?
Yeah, over the winter.
I don't even know who you are.
I know. I am. I mean, not daily. Let's slow your roll. But I think a couple times a week, I'll go lift weights. I like lifting.
I would set
would you do the treadmill?
No. I hate cardio. Hate.
Huh. I would set your mind to going every day. And then when you go 3 days a week, you can be happy about it. But if you set your mind to 3 days a week, I can assure you, you're going to go 0 days a week.
Okay. Mm. I got you.
As someone who had to build up.
I'm now following all of Sam's advice because he's the one that told me to watch Bad Monkey, which, by the way, we watched again last night. Funniest show I have seen in such a long time, I cannot even tell you.
Not drinking water.
Yeah, how's the water going?
I have some water here.
Let me see.
It's in that cup.
Why don't you hand it to me?
Yeah. I put some ice in that sucker yesterday and drank some of it. I'm getting better.
Let's see how full this Kiewit Yeti is.
Drank some of that yesterday. Started taking calcium.
Oh, nice.
Why is it red?
I put that little squirt red stuff in it.
She drank half of the Yeti.
You know how bad that's supposed to be for you. I'm sure it's bad for you.
You might as well drink your Diet Pepsi.
Even if I put a little squirt of that Mio water stuff in there?
It's never a little squirt.
We'll figure it out. Speaking of bad for you, can we get an onions update? How are they able to track the exact slivered onions on the exact burger to the exact farm from where the onions were born in California?
My guess would be that because they've pulled the quarter pounder
right
out of every McDonald's in the state of Kansas, certain McDonald's in Iowa, in certain McDonald's in Nebraska, certain McDonald's in Missouri.
20% of locations across the country.
So if they know that, they know who the supplier is. Like if every McDonald's in the state of Kansas
right
is getting their onions from this farm, they know exactly where to look.
And John Smith Onion Manufacturer.
Is that what it's called?
No.
Oh.
Got his onions from the same farm at, you know, Bob Smith's onion farm.
Okay, so who is responsible for the outbreak then?
You know what's really funny?
The owner of the farm? Yeah.
They're blaming the water that was used to grow these onions. Why aren't they washing them before they take them to the factory?
Because if the water used to grow the onions, presumably
E. coli
the water is in, just like your body is 60% water.
Oh, that's fair.
An onion would be, you know, I don't know, 30% water, 40%
water. And it's the water inside of it.
And it's the water that the plant ingests, so to speak, for lack of a better term, to grow the onion.
Okay, then I ask again, if in fact dirty contaminated water from dirty contaminated streams, which is contaminated by animal fecal runoff, if that is not mandated to be irrigated and treated by the FDA, what are we waiting for?
Well, and I would be willing to bet that every single farm in this country, with the exception of a few, uses untreated water to irrigate their crops. That would be a massive expense.
Yeah, if you want every farmer in America to switch over to treated water to irrigate their plants, their crops, what do you think is going to happen to the price of an onion?
I'm going to need a Brita filter.
But don't you think most Americans just assume the water they were using was treated?
No.
And I would love to hear from our farmers on this.
I never did.
I just assumed the water was, there's some standard.
No.
Think about this, Scott. If you own a restaurant, We regulate every single thing that goes on in the back of that kitchen. Mm-hmm. Why would we not regulate the most important thing on the front end, which is to make sure the food as it's getting to the restaurants isn't contaminated?
I can give you two words, cost and lobby.
Okay.
The biggest one being cost.
The second biggest one being lobby.
Yeah.
So there are farms using poop streams legally to wash. I'm just saying that's what they're saying this was.
They're using creeks or rivers that
also happen to have a cattle ranch upstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guarantee you that applies to every farm, which is why I said, why are they not washing their vegetables?
Because I don't think that would help.
I don't either.
But this would be a problem with every single farm is my point.
Not necessarily. I mean, does every animal have E. coli in their poop?
Yes, E. coli is created from fecal matter.
Yes, and once it's warmed and in a creek. You know, Scott, that even going swimming in lake water, you can get sick from that type of thing. And it's not just Burger King, I want to point out. Restaurant Brands International, which owns Burger King.
Well, they're doing this out of an abundance of caution.
We've seen the Yum brands, all of those people. Burger King says 5% of its restaurants use the Taylor Farms Colorado facility. And they are on their own disposing of the onions.
By the way, from the text line, Dana, I am a dietitian. A little bit of Mio drop is just fine. Just don't go drinking it straight out of the bottle.
Oh, God, nor would I. Thank you.
Sam, that water is red.
Little squirt. Little squirt.
Looks like Kool-Aid.
Little squirt.
Well, yeah.
Okay. When we get back, we'll talk about this. If you're in the ag industry, would love to hear from you. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Don't forget, coming up at 5 o'clock, we do have Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. As Dana was mentioning just a moment ago, this is from Reuters. Yum Brands, Inc. said yesterday it would be removing fresh onions from its meals at certain Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC restaurants out of an abundance of caution following an E. coli outbreak tied to McDonald's Quarter Pounders. The E. coli outbreak has killed at least one person, sickened nearly 50 others across the United States, West and Midwest. McDonald's removed the Quarter Pounder, which contains fresh onions, from its menu in Colorado, Kansas, Utah, and Wyoming, and in parts of Idaho, Iowa, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, and Oklahoma.
So one of the things I read from Fortune is that the first massive lawsuit has been filed. And the lawsuit, quote, is shocking because it attacks a fast food behemoth with a generally rock solid reputation among food safety experts. But he says the lawsuit, more likely to make waves in the restaurant industry, will not come from an individual seeking personal damage, but rather from McDonald's. Listen to this. The litigation between the victims and McDonald's is going to pale in comparison to the litigation that is going to erupt when McDonald's sues Taylor Farms. That's going to be a big deal. And here's why. Don't tell me they can't afford to treat their produce. Taylor Farms employs about 20,000 people and is a giant in the food industry. It supplies pre-cut packaged vegetables to mega retailers like Walmart, as well as to produce chains like Chipotle, but the company has found itself in trouble with frequent recalls and outbreaks for years, including links to some of 600 cases of a parasitic intestinal disease confirmed in 2013, the largest outbreak of its kind since 1997. So, you know, yes, individuals are starting to sue McDonald's, and I said to Scott during the break, how was McDonald's supposed to know?
I mean, they were the last person to hand you that product that then got you sick.
Yeah. And they're the big bucks.
By the way, E. coli bacteria is found at least in some measurable amount in almost all manure. And not sure how they would avoid this because their product that they use to fertilize these crops is manure.
More often than not, that's probably true. They also grow lettuce, broccoli, cauliflower, and onions. Founded in 1995, headquartered in California, but the operation apparently is in Colorado.
From the text line, the water that we use to irrigate comes from the river. The water in the river also comes from the state lake that is used recreationally in the summer. The irrigation runoff water must go into a separate pond so it doesn't go back into the river. That way, any chemicals that we use to treat weeds, etc., doesn't get into the water source. At our farm, we irrigate corn and soybeans.
It says here, Taylor was one of the companies whose products were recalled due to food safety concerns in 2011, including a May recall of salads mixed with grape tomatoes supplied by Florida growers and an October 2011 recall of salad blends produced by Taylor. No illnesses related to consumption of the recalled products were ever even reported. There was an additional product recall in 2012. It included mangoes, voluntarily removed in August by Taylor Farms, New Jersey, and retailers from East Coast food stores in four states.
Great point from the text line. You can also sue the restaurant because they knowingly use that distributor, despite, as we've mentioned a couple of times now, a laundry list of recalls regarding issues with their products. That would be like a car company still calling up Takata and saying, I need some airbags.
Well, but find a large food supplier, which if you're McDonald's or KFC, you're going to need lots of onions, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
So are they supposed to buy from Little Mom and Pop in King City, Missouri? I mean, you have to go to a large food supplier.
Okay.
And find me one that has never had a recall.
But I know, and I'm not saying you don't have one or two. Yeah. It doesn't sound like this particular corporation, mega corporation, has a spotless record. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like they like to cut corners, and there are issues that come from that.
Well, it also looks like they've got, this is from a Taylor Farm in Colorado. They have a Taylor Farms, New Jersey. They're headquartered in California, and they have a regional processing plant there. They've had difficulties with labor shortages, labor contractors, and salaries.
Sure.
There have been claims that they've abused the temporary worker contractors by keeping temporary employees as low-salaried long-term employees. Interesting.
That would be the short-term work visa.
Correct. By the way, we lost a very, very well-recognized voice overnight. Jack Jones. And I know the name doesn't mean anything. Most of you have probably never heard of him if you're under the age of 60. A singer who found fame and chart success on easy listening side of the street in the 1960s. Died Wednesday at the age of 86. Most famous for this song.
Yeah.
Jack Jones, yeah. The singer of the Love Boat theme, died of leukemia at a hospital in California, according to his wife of 15 years. He had hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, but his highest chart numbers could be found on what was then known as the Easy Listening chart, which would later become Adult Contemporary. In the Easy Listening format, he had a number one single with The Race Is On in 1965, The Impossible Dream in 1966, and Lady in 1967. The Love Boat theme was heard by millions of Americans every week during the show's 1977 to 1986 run on ABC.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm assuming this is Jack Jones.
It is.
Of Love Boat theme fame.
This is Wives and Lovers.
Oh.
Jack Jones.
Well, he's a crooner. A story here from Channel 5. Kansas City hasn't had a professional basketball team since the 1980s, but that could change. The WNBA.
How many times have we talked about this story in 100 years?
The WNBA, okay. Not the NBA, is interested in expanding in Kansas City. It is thought could be a good fit. Quoting here from Mayor Quentin Lucas, Kansas City is always going to be in the game when you talk about attracting great professional sports competition. The WNBA currently has 12 teams, but the league wants to expand to 16 by 2028. Lucas thinks Kansas City should be a no-brainer for the new team, says the mayor. And I quote again, I think Kansas City's excited. We have shown a propensity to support professional athletics and women's athletics. I think we are the belle of the ball if you look at CPKC Stadium, the current and the excitement there.
Where are they going to play?
Presumably at the T-Mobile.
The T-Mobile would never do it.
Why?
Because they make so much more money off of concerts, and when you bring in a
team... But why can't you do both?
Yeah, why can't you do both?
Because when you bring in a team, you are automatically... How many basketball games are there
a year? I'm looking that up right now.
You automatically carve out that many nights that you can't have another event, and if you look at the T-Mobile schedule, there is no shortage of events.
They have 40 games in a season, so that would be 20 home games.
And how many, you know, what's the average attendance? You got to factor in things like that, and you have to convince somebody like the T-Mobile Center to take on that role. And it's not the T-Mobile Center, it's whoever owns them now, AEG or somebody, I can't remember. Live Nation, maybe?
The WNBA is averaging this season 9,800 fans per game. Well, that's not bad.
No.
That's definitely the lower bowl, part of the floor, and a little bit of the upper bowl. That's not bad.
I'm going to tell you, I think the WNBA would do better here than the NBA.
Oof.
Oof. I mean... If I had said to you, women's soccer is going to just change this town and be so popular 5 years ago, would you have believed me? Or 10?
I wouldn't believe that it would be as popular as it has become. Now, keep in mind, CPKC Stadium, I think, only seats 10,000 people.
Okay.
So it's just a little bit more than half of what they seat out at Sporting Park. But no, I think that the current have... carved out a niche market, whatever the word is, in this city. And I think people are excited about that team. It also helps when the team is successful. And the current is very successful right now.
11,500 seats at CPKC Stadium. Okay. I love the idea. I really wish that we would bring a professional basketball team here, whether it's men or women. I just find it hard to believe that the T-Mobile Center is going to take on something like that they are... going absolutely gangbusters on concerts. I mean, when you have a concert 4 or 5 nights a week.
Do they have it that much? I don't think that's right.
I mean, we can look.
4 or 5 nights a week?
No way.
No way.
Plus, they'd be traveling some, right?
Yeah, they would only play 20 games at T-Mobile. They have a 40-game season. The NBA has an 82-game season. So if you brought an NBA team here, that's 41 nights out of the year you would have to leave T-Mobile alone for concerts.
That's true. Maybe they would love it.
Because they would have professional basketball games there. But if you're only doing 20 games, that's really not a lot.
They're in a bit of a slow time right now. They have Alan Jackson tomorrow. Dang it, that's tomorrow? Mm. And then November 5th, 6th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 22nd, 24th. I mean, that's a lot of nights.
Who's coming on all those nights in a row? That you said the 12th, the 13th, 14th, 15th?
Jelly Roll, Little Big Town, Billie Eilish. Those are big hitters.
Oh,
yeah.
Certainly. All in a row?
Mm-hmm.
We're so lucky
back to
be
back
here.
To back.
Wow.
I think I would support that. And I think, you know, with the Caitlin Clark effect and all of that and young girls playing basketball, the problem is we've tried hockey here before. We've tried... did we have like a D2 basketball team here for a while in the 80s or 90s?
No, we had an NBA team in the 80s for 2 seasons.
That's right.
The now Sacramento Kings.
That's right, the Kings.
They were the Kansas City Kings. I believe they played from 84 to 85.
The conversation we always have around this is how many ways do you have to split a pie? How many different ways are there?
You're talking about expendable income for sport.
Split the entertainment budget with everyone vying for your dollar.
Right.
You throw in basketball, does that impact Chiefs? I would say no.
No.
Does that impact like KU games? I would say no. But does it impact like if you only have a certain amount of money to spend and you want to go see women's soccer, do you also then go support the WNBA?
Or if the Royals are having a down season,
yeah.
Would you rather?
And last year.
And yeah, right. Lost 106 games last year.
By the way, T-Mobile Center has 18,000 seats.
Okay.
And to Dana's point, we've had this conversation 100 times. If there was that much support to get it here, I mean, the NBA has had talks in the last 44 years about bringing a team back here, and an owner doesn't see the market. And maybe that's changed. I don't know.
What is the seating at Cable Dahmer? So if a WNBA team...
5,800 at Cable Dahmer.
That's it?
Yep.
It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be bigger than that.
That's $4,000 below what they're averaging this season. And that's not taking into account when Caitlin Clark comes to town.
Oh, I mean, they would put a basketball court in the middle of Arrowhead for that.
Yeah. I mean, she's huge. Kathy Nelson is behind the idea. Quoting here from the Sports Commission president, Kathy Nelson, friend of the show, Kansas City is a perfect place to support a WNBA team.
Under a rolling roof at the new Arrowhead.
I'm sorry?
That's how this would work.
You would want to put a WNBA team in a NFL football stadium?
Yes, under a rolling roof.
It would remind me of when the Kansas City Whiz
the Whiz
were playing at Arrowhead, and I would go as often as I could because I'm a huge soccer fan.
You and 15 of your closest friends.
And the stadium looked empty. Because if you had 9,000 people.
Don't they just curtain it off? That's what they do
when
concerts that don't sell out.
Where are they going to hang the curtains
from? I don't know.
From the rolling roof.
It's a lot of curtains.
When the Wizards would play out there, it was actually kind of embarrassing. Because there would be a smattering of people in the lower bowl. There would be no one in that mid-tier bowl and no one. I mean, you couldn't even buy a ticket in the upper bowl. Why would you?
Now, they could easily re-retrofit Hy-Vee Arena. Formerly Kemper.
There you go.
No.
Why is that still standing?
Because Hy-Vee bought it.
I know.
Jimmy.
There hasn't been a big storm.
Jimmy in Kansas City. Jimmy, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're
doing
well.
Thank you.
You know, if I recall correctly, when we signed the contract with AEG to operate that arena, they obligated themselves to 200 dates a year. Regardless of monster truck shows, concerts, whatever it was.
Sure.
And we had high hopes with that number that we would get an NBA team out of the deal. What about Municipal Auditorium? It's right, just around the corner.
I think it's too small.
I don't think it's big enough.
NAIA and everything, right?
Yeah, but I think it's too small.
Oh, no, not for WNBA, because what do you say? The average attendance now with Caitlin Clark and everybody is just getting to 10,000. No, I think that thing holds like 13,000 people. I think
10,700, but at 9,800 average, that would be perfect.
I mean, yeah, municipal right? auditorium yeah, holds that many people?
Oh, it's big.
Well, yeah, I've been there. I saw Prince play there once.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. Cool concert. I bet
it was.
But yeah, you could double check me on that. But I believe that AEG is obligated for 200 dates a year at Sprint. T-Mobile. But, yeah, I mean, right around the corner, now you're still in Kansas City, Missouri. I like your idea of Cable Dahmer, but I don't know how a basketball court's going to look in the middle of a hockey arena. You know, it seems like the sidelines would be way out there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, by the way, I need to correct myself. I was always under the impression, and my family hadn't moved to Kansas City yet. I always thought that the Kansas City Kings time was rather short-lived. I was wrong. They were the Kansas City Omaha Kings from 1972 to 1975.
Okay.
And the Kansas City Kings from 75 to 85.
Oh, wow.
So it lasted longer than I thought.
2024, you said this was the 9,800, essentially, was the average attendance at a WNBA game.
Correct.
An almost 50% increase from the previous season. And there is no reason to believe it would not continue to grow.
And there are two main names that you can credit with that increase. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Ken in Kansas City. Ken, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. Enjoy listening to you guys' show. Caitlin Clark is now in Europe. She left the WNBA.
What?
Not permanently.
Yeah, she just played her first game with it in like a $76 million contract. She's gone.
I don't believe that's correct.
It's true. I just checked it on Google.
I will look that up, but there is nothing I'm seeing right now.
It says 2 minutes ago from ESPN Sports Illustrated, Indiana Fever superstar Caitlin Clark made many consecutive three-pointers that must be seen to believe drains more than two dozen in an off-season workout. And this was just a moment ago. After taking a few weeks away from the basketball court, once the Indiana Fever's 2024 campaign came to an end, she has now returned to her beloved sport. I don't see anything about her here.
No, it would not be anything different than when
she hit 25 consecutive three-pointers during a workout with the caption from the Indiana Pacers, quote, "The grind don't stop."
What was the young lady's name who was arrested in Russia?
Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner, thank you.
The Indiana Fever just posted Caitlin Clark knocks down 25 straight threes during an off-season workout.
Yep. So what they do to supplement their income, I don't know why she would need to do that with the endorsements that she has, but then again, same thing for Brittany Griner. They will play or coach in other leagues during the off-season, but there is no way that Caitlin Clark is walking away from the WNBA. Keep in mind, Brittany Griner was still playing in the WNBA when she was also playing in a Russian league and was arrested.
She is not. This is from the Indianapolis Star. Why Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark is not playing overseas in the offseason or in a 3x3 league. It's just not true. I'm not saying it's not fake out there online somewhere.
Yeah.
She is taking a break. They've got her taking photos with fans at the grocery store. She's taking a vacation in Mexico, but is grinding out and practicing according to her own team today. Yeah,
she's not leaving the WNBA. That's where her money is going to come from. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. I'm telling you guys, listen, and I'm not talking down to anybody, but just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true. People are writing in, oh, no, she just signed a lifetime deal with a European basketball league, she being Caitlin Clark. Somebody else says, 1 hour ago, Caitlin Clark signs $92 million European league contract. We looked it up. We cannot find a single legitimate news organization that is reporting that. Not one.
Nearly 100 YouTube videos talking about it, but yeah, they don't cite their source.
You have to, again, just because it's on the interwebs does not make it true.
I'm a French model.
John in Olathe. Hello, John.
Yes, I'd like to talk about the attendance in the WNBA. You know, people really like to talk. The reason that it's high, and one of the big reasons, is because Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. You know, if you really look at it real close, and I have, for the most part, when Angel Reese plays a game, her average attendance is right around 8,000 to 9,000 fans a game. And when Caitlin Clark plays a game, her average is anywhere, it's always a sellout.
Right.
And it's anywhere from 15,000 to 17,000 on the sellout. So, you know, when they always tie this together, I know they like to bring it together with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark a lot because it's good person versus bad person, and that's good for the sport. I understand that, but when you start talking about reasons for attendance being high, I don't think Angel Reese hardly moves the tick, you know, as far as the sellouts or the attendance, hardly at all when she's playing versus when, you know, Caitlin Clark plays.
Well, if your argument is that Caitlin Clark's the bigger star, you'll get no argument from me. But I don't want to diminish what Angel Reese is bringing to the game.
If you're trying to say that the overall number looks inflated because they are including in that number all of the sellouts for Caitlin Clark performing,
yeah,
that would be accurate. Like if you take Caitlin Clark's games out, that overall average is probably going to go down, would it not?
Yeah, of course it would. Yes.
From the text line, Elvis is alive in Memphis.
I know. It's on the internet.
Also from the text line, Hitler is in Argentina.
Well, of course, he has been for a long time.
Okay. Duh.
But you know, and I'm not comparing the two necessarily, but sort of the excitement level brought to certain games when they arrive in town. Lionel Messi, when he joined the MLS team in Miami, I still remember the one and only time I ever got to see Lionel Messi play soccer was when he played last season against Sporting KC at a nearly sold out Arrowhead Stadium.
That's right.
We went to that game.
People, how much was that ticket, if you don't mind me asking?
My ticket, because I'm a season ticket holder, the two tickets that I have transferred over to Arrowhead. So I didn't have to pay anything extra for those. I did buy four other ones, one for Sarah and her boyfriend, one for Maya and her boyfriend. And I want to say they hovered around $100 a piece.
All right.
But
to watch one of the greatest soccer players of all time?
Some would argue the greatest. I would not. But
you made them sit in the nosebleeds?
Yeah.
Good dad.
Were they in the same building as Lionel Messi?
No, that was not sarcastic. I'm good for you. I'm happy about that.
Wow. You're mean. You're
that was not an attack.
You're a little salty this week.
Why'd you take it as an attack?
Speaking of attack, teed that right up, Samuel Stevie the Third.
Proud of myself.
We come back telling you what. You wonder why it's hard to hire, retain good teachers. One of them got socked trying to break up a fight, and it is a local story.
We'll get to that and much more. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. The news is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.